Alrighty, let's get into it.
What's going on?
Same old different day, brother. Summer's here. I keep saying it, but it's fucking here. That pool better be open next weekend, dude.
Yeah, it will be.
Hell yeah.
I think next Friday, but it'll take probably close to a week to get the chemicals and everything right.
Ah!
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I was looking at the weather. It's going to rain all week, but like by the weekend, I think we're in the fucking clear here.
Yeah, it should be good.
Now, that being said, there's, you know, maybe another snow flurry coming now that I've said it, but regardless. Anyways, welcome back to another episode of Flip the Record. 27 today? 27, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. So what do we got today? We got Jet. Jet.
Australian rock.
Yeah, interesting choice here. Before we get into Jet, I was just saying to you, I don't think we have much news and notes going into the week other than 21 Pilots' new track. It actually spurred a thought to me. It would be interesting to see a band just release an album, like track by track, one track a week until the album's complete.
Oh, that would piss me off.
It would be horrifyingly, like miserable. Just like tease. But from a like publicity standpoint, it might not be the dumbest idea ever.
I don't know. I would not like that as a listener. I get mad when people have like 10 track albums, like short albums, and they release like 5 singles. It's like that's half the album.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it definitely takes a good 13, 14 to be able to do that.
Let me put it this way. Any artist with like a complete concept of an album that's not just like random tracks put together would never do that.
Yeah. And so that's kind of a, like an interesting question. It's like, is 3 the right number? The album comes out in, what, 2.5 weeks? May 17th, I think. So, you know, 3 weeks maybe, give or take. Like, if they put out another single next weekend, right? Like, are
it's
they
pushing
now?
It.
Yeah, because they're crossing the border. Because I think there's 12 tracks on the album. So at that point, you'd have released a third of the music. And literally in order, track 1, track 2, track 3, probably track 4 at that point.
Mm.
So it's like, that certainly diminishes somewhat the full release, no?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, I would rather have what Taylor just did with the new album where it's like, no singles early, here's the tracks, and oh, by the way, here's another 15.
I think 1 to 2 singles is, like, perfect.
I think
3 is good, too. Anything beyond 3 is overkill.
I totally agreed, dude. Yeah. At that point, you're kind of, it's just over the top. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, because 1 to 2 singles, too, like, especially when done right, it gets you so hyped for the album. Like, when the band picks the perfect single.
Yeah. Oh, dude. And there's been other albums where, like Shinedown has done this to me a couple times, especially recently, where, like, they choose songs for the singles that I'm not in love with, and I'm like, well, fuck, here we go. And then the album comes out, I'm like, oh, this is a good album.
Oh,
singles were just meh.
That's the best, like, surprise. I think so. I get like if a band releases like 1 or 2 singles and one of them's okay and then one of them I don't like, and then I'm like, oh, whatever, this album's gonna stink. And then I listened to it, and I was like, oh hell yeah, this is great. Like, because I'm already in my mind like this is a sunk cost. Like I'm not gonna like this album. Yada yada yada. And it's just a nice pleasant surprise.
So the example I'm thinking of here is Planet Zero for Shinedown. The singles for that album were Planet Zero, which I know you don't like. So I'm just put this in your own context. The singles were Planet Zero, The Saints of Violence and Innuendo, which I'm sure you don't even remember.
Nope.
And I'm forgetting the third one. It might have been Dead Don't Die, which, good track. I'm very excited for. And those were what I had to go off of. And so, like, Planet Zero, I was like, okay, this is, I've heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, not great. Saints of Violence and Innuendo, I was motherfucking them left and right. The whole time, I thought it was just like a deep cut from the Amaryllis days. And Dead Don't Die, I was like, fuck, this is awesome. And so I was in this weird space, like, talking to Alex, like, I don't know what the fuck this album's going to be. And then you get that, and it's like, you know, I don't want to do a whole recap of the album, but I don't. It just wasn't this great surprise that you're talking about. So it's a dangerous game to play, I guess, is my point.
There's definitely onus on the band to pick a single that is representative of a sound that is applicable to most of the album. Like if you pick like the one or like if you pick 2 outlier tracks for the rest of the album has a completely different sound, it's like shame on you.
That's the thing. Saints of Violence and Innuendo comes like 15 or 16 deep in the track set list.
Yeah.
And is more akin to some of their like middle of the catalog stuff than it is the newer stuff. And so I just But yeah, I think it's a very dangerous game you play, like putting that many singles out.
Yeah, like I'm just thinking, like, one of my favorite albums of all time is American Idiot. Like, if Green Day releases like Extraordinary Girl as like the single, or like even Wake Me Up When September Ends, you'd be like, oh, like this is, well, what Wake Me Up When September Ends is a great song, but you get the point. It's
it doesn't
encompass like the sound of the rest of the album. Yeah. So it's like, like more recently, like Bring Me the Horizon is put out Dark Side and then Kool Aid or whatever. But like Dark Side, when that single came out, I was like, holy shit! If the album is like just like this, this is gonna be one of the best albums in recent memory.
And Kool Aid was meh.
Yeah.
Meh. Not good. Not bad. Meh.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying. Fuck. They're due, aren't they?
I think last time we checked, they had said summer again.
Keep an eye on them.
Right.
I think that's an interesting transition point right there, because I think Bring Me the Horizon is a interesting comp to the last album of Jet. Some of Bring Me the Horizon's late stuff sounds a lot like that last album they did. And I guess maybe I'm skipping ahead too far here, but Jet seems to pull from a lot of different places to get this. How do I put this? Like, they have some good, like, original stuff. Don't get me wrong. It's very, like, just solid rock. It's not hard rock. It's not soft rock. You could put it closer to hard rock, but just good, solid rock. However, I find a lot of this music very derivative from other things. Very, very, like cover bandy in a sense. And as I was listening to it, I was kind of chuckling to myself thinking that you would pick these guys, because especially in their first two albums, it's very heavily rooted in, like, classic rock, which, not to say you're not a fan of, just something you don't listen to a ton.
Yeah, this is another group where, like, I love their first album. Is amazing. There's so many good, like, there's hits. There's every track is good. It's another one of those, like, start to finish. There might be one or two songs that I don't necessarily care for, but it's a great album. And then their second and third albums, like, there's some tracks that I'll pick away, but it's not, like, it's not very memorable.
Yeah.
Or I feel like it's kind of similar to All American Rejects. And even next week we're doing Audio Slave, which I feel like their last album was kind of a little bit forgettable compared to the first two, too.
Sure.
So, and there's another band, too, similar to All American Rejects, where they make three albums over less than 10 years or whatever, and then they call it quits.
Yeah, and they kind of space it out pretty wildly, huh? It was what,
2003,
2009, and 2016?
2006.
2006 and 2016?
And, oh, I might not have put the date on the last one. Oh, no, 2003, 2006, 2009. And then they released a couple singles after.
Gotcha, yeah.
Oh, and they did, like, I think they might have remastered some of the albums and then, you know, put some demos on there as, like, a deluxe bonus.
I see, because I'm looking at Shine On Deluxe 2016.
Yeah, so the original was 2006.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
I think they threw on...
Well, they cut a couple tracks, and then they added one or two.
Yeah, like on the deluxe edition, Hold On is track number one.
Yeah.
That's a great track.
Yeah.
And then they put on, like, several demos, too, on the expanded.
Right. They cut Them Kids or something, and anyways. But that's all to say, it's a bit akin to what we talked about last week with the All-American Rejects, where, yes, they have that one thing they do very well. And I actually like when they, like... So they also do this, like, kind of electronic rock album later on with this band called the Bloody Beetroots. I don't know if that's something you want to talk about today, but and that's wildly different than anything they've done.
Was that the one with I Am Thunder?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was sick.
That's a fantastic fucking song.
Yeah.
But then, like, the rest of that album doesn't really feature Jet, and I think Jet got, like, a co-production credit, because they did a lot of the studio work for the rest of the artists. Because they feature, like, 15 different artists.
Oh, really?
Dude, they got the guy from Jane's Addiction, Perry Farrell. They got...
I got it pulled up right here. Yeah, every track is someone different.
Masquerade, I think, was maybe somebody who did something with Linkin Park. Jay Buchanan from Rival Sons. Greta Svabo Beck worked with Deadmau5. Like, they got some big names on here and a bunch of other, like, kind of smaller names, but it's just a funny thing that they got a co-production credit on this album.
Yeah.
But yes, very different. Very, like we like I said already, the kind of meat and potatoes of Jet is classic rock punched up into, like, a little bit of a punky thing. And this is not that at all. This is very, very modern rock, like metal, EDM blending, which is a cool thing. Like, we bitched last week about AAR, you know, not giving us the fastball. I think sometimes when Jet switches it up and does something a little bit different, usually it works, at least in my opinion. So, like, you get to the last album, Shine On. Songs
no,
like...
No, that's the second album. Shock
sorry,
Rock's last album.
Yeah, it's the way I ordered it. Shock Rock. Songs like She Holds a Grudge at the very end. A bit more folk rocky. I think they do a great job there. Do I think it sounds a bit like the Eagles? Yeah. Still pretty good sound. Regardless, that's all to say, like, I had to kind of step back because I just heard so much Beatles, so much Stones.
Oh, yeah, you definitely hear the Beatles.
So much Bob Dylan in this that I had to kind of step back and, like, reassess how I'm evaluating this band in particular because, yes, I like the sound. Yes, I think it's very derivative and done and not as well done as the bands I've just mentioned. So it's kind of, you know, fighting those two battles where, again, like, do I enjoy the sound? Yes. Is that enough? Sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, because from a lyrical standpoint, they have some good songwriting in the first album, some stuff that comes from some personal stuff from the band, and I feel like they just run out by the time, like, second and third albums. I'm like, they're not even... The song's not about anything.
There's a lot of jumbled nonsense.
Which is, you know, is fine to an extent, but I think when it's like a majority of the album, like for me at least, as a listener, I appreciate
something.
A little bit more substance.
Yeah.
Even if the sound is good.
Yeah. But regardless, these guys got at least one hit that everybody knows, and that comes on the first album, so maybe that's a good place to get started here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Making up the band here, we got Nick and Chris Chester. Nick Chester on vocals, rhythm guitar, and piano. Chris on drums and some vocals. Cameron Muncy on lead guitar and some vocals. Mark Wilson on bass and some vocals. So an interesting thing I noticed right off the gate is, like, Nick does most of the vocal work. Not all of it. There are songs where the other guys, and I couldn't pick them out for you, but there are songs where the other guys get the lead vocals, which, again, is a very Beatles thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, like, the first kind of tease that I had that these guys were super, like, classic rock inspired. But aside from that, like, this first album kind of knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, it's a great album.
It's really well, like, produced. It sounds like, so the other, I got like a little bit of White Stripes from this album too, just because it's so garage rocky, you know. Obviously the guitar work is nowhere close, but that's not the point. Just sound wise, that's kind of what I was hearing. But it's so much better. Like, it sounds so much better. And Nick, right from the first fucking track, lets you know he's gonna be giving it 100% on the mic on every song.
Yeah,
I think he's got a really nice voice, and he, like, takes it to the 11th degree.
Yeah, I like it a lot more paired with this sound, like, from this album compared to the other two albums. But, yeah, like, I totally agree. Like, his voice is great on this album.
Yeah, 100%. He lets out some, like, his calling card is that kind of, like, shrill, wow.
Right.
It's a, and that's kind of, like, a very 80s hair metal thing to do, too. But, yeah, no, this is – it's a really cool collection. Here's the quote I was looking for. Jet's influences include the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, AC/DC, and T-Rex, amongst others. I don't think you need to stray too far from that list of artists to get a sense of where the kind of organization of this music is going to come from. The drums are very Beatles, top to bottom. The guitars are very, like, Stones, Jagger kind of thing a lot of the time. The vocals are kind of their own thing. Again, I think Nick is kind of the secret sauce to this band. But you'll just hear so much of that as you go through. Now, unless you got anything else, I think we should I'll just get into it.
Yeah, so the album opens with Last Chance, which is a nice opener. It's got a catchy riff, simple song, nothing too crazy.
Yeah, I think sometimes you'll see this where bands put a shorter song at the very open, and I really don't mind that. I guess, actually, I probably prefer, if you're going to do, like, a two-minute song, just throw it right out in the front, as long as it's got the energy, and that's exactly what this one does. You hear right at the top, like, they're just talking in the studio, and you hear Nick's Australian accent saying something. I forget what he said, but it struck me right away because, like, this is before I had done a little research on these guys. I was like, holy shit, I thought these guys were American.
Yeah, no trace of the accent in the vocals.
Yeah, when they're singing, there's no trace. Sounds very California rock to me.
Yeah.
But you hear it, it's like, oh. But anyways, no, this is a very, like, mid-tempo Rolling Stones thing, but buzzed up and given that little modern flair. Nonsense on the lyrics, but the energy is just awesome. You hear yeah. those yells, and it gets you right into it. It's a great way to open this album.
Yeah, vocals are good, lyrics. He's just saying, this is your last chance, honey. But like you said, there's not really any substance to it. But yeah, it's a good open.
Yeah, it's a good open. Which gets you to that song everybody knows, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? It's this bass line, man. This bass line right. fucking rocks. The tambourines are great here, too, because it starts with the bass line for a couple sections. Then you get the tambourines shaking in. Then you get Nick just kind of like lowly jumping. He lets out the yell right out the gate once he gets on the mic and then kind of lowly gets into it, but rips away through the vast majority of this song. Cool little lick on the lead guitar here where he like twists it going up into the bigger sections. I love the little like back and forth between gritty yells and these quiet like, are you gonna be my girl? Like yeah. sections. Like, I don't know, man. This is an awesome song.
Yeah, this is a dope song. One thing, according to the band, the lyrics were about the lead singer's unsuccessful attempts to attract women, like, you know, striking out. The original hook for the song was going to be, you're just like every other girl, but the band was like, no, we got to do something more positive, which is, you know, the, are you going to be my girl? Which is a lot like, that was a smart move.
Yeah, good call there, boys.
Yeah, and then the other note I had on this was, this song is very similar to Iggy Pop's Lust for Life, which is one of his hits, and then Screwdriver by the White Stripes, although I think that would have came after this song, chronologically.
Yes. Yeah.
But I went and listened to both tracks, and they're like, it was pretty close to both.
That's what I'm saying, dude. These guys, at a lot of times, are the best cover band on your playlist. Anyways, I'll point out some other ones as we go along, but... Great, great track, an absolute must listen if you only listen to one track by these guys.
Yeah, and like you said, it's catchy, and like even just the Are You Gonna Be My Girl, like everyone can sing along to that. And
right, after so much energy and positivity and yelling, like you get that just very direct Are You Gonna Be My Girl.
And they got the, I don't know if you said it, but they got, I don't know if it's like the tambourine or something that's the shaking the whole time. Like yeah.
The hand cymbals.
Yeah, that was a great ad, whoever produced that.
Great call. Because the drums are pretty simple, and that's another thing. We said it last week about All American Rejects, and I'm going to say it again. The drums are nothing special with this band for the vast majority of the music. A couple songs here and there, but... The vast majority of it, fairly simple. And so getting those tambourines adds some of that like percussion depth that is nice in rock. So
yeah, it was a good add. It's a good add sure. there. Yeah, the next track is Rollover DJ, which is like upbeat, solid rock, catchy hook, catchy riff. This is another one that I really like.
This is like just a very good garage rock song. It doesn't really have a great meaning. It's just good vibes. Like if you like rock music, you'll very much like the sound of this song. It's got those growling, buzzy guitars, fun, high-energy vocals again. It's just, like, it's light listening.
Yeah, you know what's funny on this one is, like, the meaning of it is supposed to be, like, calling out unoriginal tracks that blow up and are hits. And it's, you know, they have the line, well, I know that you think you're a star, pill pop and jukebox is all you are. And, you know.
The irony there is that this isn't an incredibly inventive track.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. Anyways, it's a fine listen, which gets us into the next one, Look What You've Done.
One of my favorites.
It's a decent song. It's very Beatles derivative, very Paul McCartney, like the later years. Quiet, kind of mid-tempo piano ballad. I think Nick's voice, and it might be Nick, it might be somebody else on the mic here. It sounds great. It's a little bit, like, cleaned up, not so buzzy, not so, like, wildly energetic. I don't know. It's not my favorite, but I get it.
Oh, see, I love this track. It's I like the vocals too. Like I think it's got a lot of emotion there. This song is actually about Nick and Chris's dad who cheated on their mom, and you know he's singing, "Oh, look what you've done. You made a fool of everyone. Well, it seems like such fun until you lose what you had won." And in terms of like slower piano ballads, and this does pick up a little bit at the end.
Yeah.
Like, this is right up at the top for my piano ballad
playlist. I have some other ones I prefer, but I don't know. It's not horrible. Yeah, that's all I got for this one. Next up, Get What You Need. This sounded very rollover DJ to me. Same kind of thing here. You know, a little bit of like buzzy, kind of punchy, low-tuned keyboard here. Add some nice depth. And then you get the band doing a little bit of more like background vocals on this, kind of echoing the chorus, which is also like I take that. So better than rollover DJ, but overall I felt a very similar way about this song.
Yeah, you still got the hand cymbals going too, which that I like. Again, I think that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, lyrically, I know it might not be about anything. He just sings, "You're going to get what you need." Not sure what it means, but
yeah,
it's, I mean, catchy riff, catchy song. It's not really about anything.
Right.
And then we get to Move On, which is another slow song about life and relationships. And another one that I think is one of my favorites from the album. I think it's pretty underrated.
I think so, too. I really like this track. My comp here is very Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd.
Mm.
Kind of folky rock acoustic track. Tambourine slowly chiming in on this one. You get those cleaned up same vocals from the last track. More of a sense of like longing and authenticity on the mic. Then they out of nowhere kind of mix in like a couple short electric guitar solos later on in the track. Extended licks, I guess, on this low kind of crying country guitar. Then you get back to the kind of like acoustic setting. Something about this one just struck me, man. I really like this one too.
Yeah, it's real nice. And, you know, there's actually some lyrical substance to this one too. So, yeah, good track. The next one is Radio Song, which I think is like one of the only ones that I didn't save off the album. I don't know about you.
Lyrically, I wasn't a huge fan of this one. This lyrically struck me, again, very much like Rollover DJ. Musically strikes me a bit more like Look What You've Done.
The piano, yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bit more depth than Look What You've Done. You get the quiet, choppy acoustic and then these like simple ballad drums and some layered vocals. I don't know. Very Beatles sounding, very, like, yeah, just not for me.
Yeah, like I said, this is the only ones I wouldn't come back to.
Yeah.
After that is Get Me Outta Here, another solid rock track. Lyrically, you know, fuck the system. The line, I'm sacking the man because the man is the thief.
Yeah.
Very just rock 101.
Oh, man, that'll always get the people going. Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing crazy here, but it is fun. It's dancey. It's energetic. You get a little piano kind of ditty in the bridge, too, which is nice out of nowhere. Like, it just kind of pops in, hits a lot of, like, quick notes and moves back on. It's just a fun track, you know. Not a ton of substance, but fun track.
Yeah, definitely. And then we get to the other hit off the album.
Yeah, and so this is one of the two songs I knew coming into this, Cold Hard Bitch. Very much the same thing as, like, Are You Gonna Be My Girl, but, like, meaner. And does not slow down for 1 second. This track fucking rocks. The build-up is perfect, too, because they take a while to build it up.
Yeah.
You get that kind of just, like, choppy, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then, like, the instruments layer and layer and layer until you get him screaming his face off on the mic.
Some of his best vocal work.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. Careless, the kind of buzzy, fried vocals. Mixed in with like these angry little lines and like quick jabs. Great sing along track, great like live music, just feel good thing. I love it.
Yeah, I didn't get this note from Genius. It's on one of the other sites I scan frequently, but the take on the lyrics here was that the protagonist is frustrated because he has not received oral sex, or he performed oral sex on the girl and that was not reciprocated. So I was like, there's no chance that's what he wrote the song about.
A natural reaction to that situation. Who hasn't been so upset about that?
Although
what the fuck?
I mean, the lyrics, cold hard bitch, just a kiss on the lips, and I was on my knees, I'm waiting, give me. So, you know, maybe there's some substance to it. Regardless of what the song is actually about, it's an awesome song.
Yeah, and to be clear, I was being a bit jesty there, but if that's what it's really about, it's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's funny. It's very, like, early rock band days, like
something that Struts would do too.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Or Måneskin.
Yep, I could see that too. Although they would probably have a different take on it, but
yeah,
100%. All right, next one, Come Around Again. This is another campfire ballad here. Simple strumming acoustic, shuffly drums, and these like slower kind of drawn out vocals. Bits of keyboard and electric guitar lick in throughout, and add something. You know, in the right mood, this one kind of rocks. Like, I could see myself after a few drinks, late night, kind of getting into this one. But, yeah, not something I'd go back to all the time.
Yeah, I like this song. Lyrically about waiting for someone to come back to you. I got a little bit of John Mayer continuum, like, of the electric guitar, like, kind of just plucking away in 100%. The background. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Another good, solid track for me.
Sure. After that, Take It or Leave It. This is interesting because this is the first blues kind of thing I'm hearing from them. You get a bluesy riff right out the open, and then very like classic old school kind of Chuck Berry riff, like 50s, 60s rock kind of thing mixed in with the garage thrashy energy. I mean, it blows your face off right out the gate and doesn't stop until the very end. This deep into the album, this song is awesome.
Yeah, again, not much lyrical substance, but I really like the music a lot.
100%.
Yeah. The next one, Lazy Gun. This is probably my second least favorite track off the album. The Lazy Gun is a metaphor for television, and lyrics are talking about how TV can be a distraction from real life. Lyrically kind of cheesy. Musically, I didn't like it as much. Just kind of a skip for me.
I feel like these guys have a somewhat of a tendency to get a little preachy. And then sometimes they hold back, and other times they don't.
They slip it in every now and then.
Yeah, they get a little preachy, and this is one of them. Like,
yeah.
This is a very much like old man yelling at clouds kind of take here.
This is like this is like the dumbed down version of like Greta Van Fleet.
The difference is Greta's just like, they don't even mention TV. They just go out in the woods and fucking play with fairies and nymphs and shit. And these guys are like, fuck, I gotta stop watching TV, man. You gotta stop watching TV. Regardless here, this is kind of just a weird, like, plotting rocker, slow thing. Slightly distorted guitars, simple drums, simple claps. You know, chorus kind of slows down, stretches these nice vocals. Just a strange cadence. Yeah.
Yeah. And then for the closer of the album, we get Timothy, which is a really good deep cut, slower song about guitarist Cameron's brother who passed away before Cam was born. And he said on the song he always felt like he was a kind of a replacement child, and he'd always been upset about the death of his brother. And then when he was talking to Chris about it, Chris ended up writing the song for him. So
that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah, cool story.
And it's not – there's no, like, subtext here, no nothing. It's very open, very apparent what this song is going to be about. It's almost ballady, but it's just more of, like, a sad, slow rock track, in my opinion. It starts off so beat up, so sad, depressed, melancholy. As it goes, you get a little more energy on the mic, and like the song just kind of picks up as a whole into more of like a mid-range. Positionally, I think like we've talked about it a million times, but like if you're going to do this, last track on the album to close it out, great place for this one.
Yep.
It's growing on me. I don't know about the replay value, but like just I do like the song.
Yeah, it's definitely like a – I don't know if this is the wrong way to put it, but it's a high-quality song.
Like, so that's another thing I've kind of been like toying with lately is like there are songs that don't have replay value to me, but I appreciate the
work.
But
they're composed well. I like the lyrics. I like the sentiment. I like the like.
And so at what point is it just like a song that you like?
Like well, I do like it, but I know what you're saying about like on the replay value. You're not going to go to your Spotify or Apple Music and be like, oh, this is the song I'm going to put
like,
on.
If I had this song on my kind of like day-to-day playlist, I would skip this one so many times.
Yeah, because you have to be in the mood to want
it.
Like,
exactly. I think that's probably it. Is like these sadder tracks that I like, it's hard for me to say, yes, I want to listen to this more, but also I really like it.
Yeah, I think for a lot of the sadder tracks for me, like I'm listening through an album, then I love it. Like it's great because it's part of the album. But
right.
like you said, if it comes up on shuffle
Which
more
is
often
such
than
a
not.
Weird fucking thing. And just like a strange change in the way that like music's been kind of appreciated or consumed. Because once upon a time, there was no skip track. There was no, you know, track by track. You just put a record on the vinyl and it, you know, played top to bottom. Or you eventually had to flip it, you know.
True.
And so the way things are now, like, yeah, this song's not going to get a ton of play just by streaming numbers. But that's a kind of disservice to the quality that goes into this track.
Yeah. And yeah, there's lots of sad songs that do get the streams. But I think overall, the sentiment that they'd probably be lower than what they were in the past with people just being forced to listen to them,
especially when your hits are You Gonna Be My Girl and Cold Hard Bitch, it's easy to pass this one by for the people who are listening for that.
Yeah, true. Look What You've Done is also in terms of streams, I think it's right up there with look what you Or no, it's right up there with Are You Gonna Be My Girl.
Damn, I didn't realize it was that close. That's fucking cool.
I actually heard it when I decided to do Jet. I heard that song on the radio.
Oh, really?
I went home and I was like, oh yeah, like Jet's got a couple songs. Like, maybe we should talk about them.
Yeah, fuck with that for sure. Alrighty, so that wraps up the first album, Get Born.
Good album.
Yeah, really good opening album. Good album in general.
One you could put on from start to finish and just let it ride.
Yeah, and like I guess like I've said, like there's peaks and valleys in this one, just energy wise, that don't make it so much a, how do I put this? Like if I just wanted to listen to this again from top to bottom, like you gotta be just sitting down like peacefully a little bit. Like it's not, it doesn't fall in any one category well. So like albums I listen to top to bottom, right? Like One X. One X gives you the same fucking like energy top to bottom, even the slower songs. This one, I don't know about top to bottom for me, just because it does have such low valleys in energy. But regardless, still really good work.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the next one, Shine On.
Yeah, 2006.
So they did a lot of good stuff similar to the last album. They did start changing it up a little bit, too. Some more blues influence, some more folk influence. And I just don't think the hits are as high as the hits on the previous album.
No. Not, and in terms of streams, so like I said, Look What You Done, Cold Hard Bitch, and then Are You Gonna Be My Girl were both like 400 or 500 million streams, 300 million, in the hundreds of millions of streams.
Right.
I think the highest stream song on this album had like 20 million, to put it into context.
Yeah. And that's all not to say that I don't like any of the tracks on this song or this album. There's certainly some stuff, some good stuff here. There's just some other, like the misses miss a little harder.
I think even like the middle ground tracks for me, like the middle ground tracks on the first album, I'll still give them a listen. Like on here, I'm just like, ah, I'm like, nah, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think that's probably a good place to start here. It opens with a kind of lead in track to the second track, The Spirit d'Escalier. It's just this jangly old school, like 60s Beatles thing. Like 20 seconds, 30 seconds that leads into Holiday. And Holiday is this like heavy blues track. So right out the gate, you get this mid-tempo plugging with like thick jangly chords and pounding drums. Vocals buzzy as fuck. You get the boys, all the boys jumping on the mic here for the chorus. I love this sound from them. This is a perfect opener for this album.
Yeah, I think lyrically it's just a bunch of lyrical salad, I'm the man kind of song.
Yeah.
I don't like this sound as much, but it's fine. I don't dislike it. I just don't like it as much as the first album.
That doesn't necessarily surprise me.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is.
So I think somebody else is on the mic on this one.
I can't tell,
the vocals are,
man,
weird on this.
So weird. It sounds, whoever's on the mic here, I think it's definitely a male vocalist who has twisted their vocals so much to sound like a female vocalist. I don't know. There's a lot of that in the verses. When you get to the chorus, it's very much like classic Jet. Hard, heavy, fast, like screaming away. But the verses are so weird here. Chords are a bit slower and the drums drop down like pretty low to let the vocals shine. You know, there's this cool like Jagger-style solo at the end. I've listened to this maybe two or three times, and it really depends, man. There are days I do, days I don't.
Yeah, that's how I felt about a lot of this album. It's decent. It has the most streams off the album. I'm not going to come back to it a ton. Lyrically, you put your money where your mouth is. Let's get it on. Not much going on.
Yeah, that's a trope.
Different vocals.
It's interesting.
It's there.
Yeah. Here it is. All right, next one. Bring It On Back. Opens with like the mid-level vocals, quiet, easygoing keyboard. Drums coming in at like a mid-tempo early on. Then the electric guitar joins the party in the first chorus. Gives it like this folky rock kind of vibe. Really picks up the energy as it goes. It's close to a ballad. Gets a little bit too rocky to be a ballad towards the end. But it's close. I got kind of like, and I heard a lot of this on this album, I got Oasis from this song.
That makes sense. Like, that's one I didn't think about, but now that you say it,
yeah. You'll hear a lot of that through this one and then into the next one.
Yeah. Lyrically about a guy missing the good times he had with an ex-girlfriend. it's decent. Another one where, you know, it's all right. It's decent, but I'm not going to come back to it a ton.
I liked it, but yeah, it's not like over the top. Love it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up, That's All Lies. A lot going on musically. Almost nothing going on lyrically.
It's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just this thing where, like, they open the track for 10 seconds with this, like, incredibly screechy, distorted guitar. Very, like, punk rocky. And then out of nowhere, it breaks into an old school, like hard-hitting, I don't even know. It's not quite punk rock. It's not, like, classic rock. Somewhere in between there. Heavy, fast, loud guitars really just, like, crashing together. Wild drums, high-energy vocals. It does kind of, like, crescendo in each chorus and then comes back down to earth and like puts itself together a little bit as you start the next verse. But man, the energy is wild here. This would be a ton of fun to see live. I like this one.
Yeah, definitely would be a lot of fun to see live. I'm with you on that. The next track is Hey Kids. I was going back and forth on this one. I think my final verdict is that I don't really like it. Lyrically, this one's a little bit different lyrically. It's not just nonsense.
It's not nonsense, but it's not the super digestible.
Again, this kind of goes back to my point of like of how they're like a not as lyrically complex version of like Greta Van Fleet. Like he's saying, "Hey kids, you never changed the world at all," and then it's like a conversation between like an old guy and
yeah.
the kids, and then he's singing, "Hey old man, remember Vietnam? You hated Vietnam, and now you love Uncle Sam." Like. I don't know.
It's strange and, again, preachy.
Yeah.
Yeah, musically, it's got that folk rock kind of easygoing, like, Bob Dylan thing to it. But, yeah, I wasn't a fan of this one.
Yeah, I think, like I said, my final verdict is that I won't come back to this one.
Yeah, probably for the best. And I think this next one is much better. It's more ballady, but it's King's Horses. It's this jangly acoustic kind of folky ballad, full sounding with a couple guitars. Shuffly drums, beautiful piano, adding these clean high notes underneath. Vocals cool off a little bit. Not so high energy, just very, like, middle ground, almost conversational. But still work the range really well, like, through the mid-level. And this is one of their better ballads, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Lyrically, I think it's about starting up after a breakup. He's got a line in here. "In the morning, I swear, I will tell you the truth. How you receive it, well, that's up to you." I like that line a lot. I thought that was cool. One of the lyric sites I scanned said this was about made references to Humpty Dumpty. I don't know if I
okay
might have been in the first verse. I didn't quite pick up on that, but oh yeah, because I guess all the king's horses and all the king's men put Humpty Dumpty back together again, or whatever it is, whatever. Yeah, decent piano song.
That's a strange pull for a rock band. I maybe wouldn't make that choice, but you know, to each their own. Anyways, yeah, still cool song. Next one, Shine On. I think this is the title of another track that was like a hit single from the 90s. Collective Soul. Maybe that was Shine.
Okay. That sounds familiar.
I won't you let it shine. I won't you let it shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, whatever. Beside the point, slow piano ballad here. I don't like having back-to-back ballads on the album, but that's beside the point. I didn't make the choice. Strummy acoustic chords mixed in, kind of marching drums pick up as they go into the chorus. It's a very sad song, too. The vocals are stuck in this beaten, broken range. The piano really hammers that vibe home, too. The piano is so heavy and like beats you up top to bottom. This is another one. Beautiful, but no replay value.
Oh, see, I disagree. I like this one a lot for, like, a slow, sad ballad. I think lyrically this is some of their best work, too. They wrote the song for their Nick's dad who passed away. And I'll just read some of the lines. "When the days all seem the same, don't feel the cold or wind or rain. Everything will be okay. We will meet again one day. I will shine on forever." And, yeah, just with the lyrical sentiment, I think it's a cool song.
Yeah, I get that.
And I for some reason, too, I actually like it on the for, like, replay.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm just stuck in the same thing I just said, where, like, having back-to-back ballads is tough for me.
Yeah.
I need those to be spaced out a little bit.
Yeah, and Nick said on this one, he kind of wrote the song, for, like, through his dad's eyes on what he would want to say to everyone to help
that's
them
cool.
get through it, which is cool. And he said they actually recorded this in one take, too, which is – that's got to be hard for something that's super emotional like that.
For real. You would think at some point it would, like, break off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Alrighty, next one. Come on, come on. It's another one that's got a weird open. Scratchy guitar and like this static buzz that switches into a mid-tempo pop rock track. Pounding simple drums and light, easygoing electric chords. Mostly at a mid to mid-high level on the mic. Doesn't really do anything crazy there, but still sounds good. And it just keeps building and building. It starts off fairly like simple and builds and builds and builds. By the end of the song, it's kind of sick, honestly. Like, all the layers, all the pieces, like, it just fits together really well. And so it's a slow burn, but it's a good track.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that I ended up liking a lot on this album. Lyrically about how people have certain expectations on the protagonist of the song, and he's basically saying, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, really cool musically.
Yeah. Next one, Stand Up. I hear punched up Southern blues here all the way. Buzzy guitars, loud as hell, crashy, heavy cymbals. Vocals really letting it all out, and then some on this one. Little honky-tonk piano gets mixed in there, too, around the choruses. I like it's just like a nice little bit. This is a great deep cut.
Yeah, lyrically, this is another like self-empowerment song where it's just like super direct and to the point. Like, stand up, you got to fight for what you believe in. Like, which is fine. I'm not trying
it's
to hate.
Fine,
I'm not trying to hate on
it's
it.
It's not original at all.
No, no.
Yeah. I hear you.
And then, Rip It Up, the next song, is kind of the same. I mean, he's basically just saying, like, don't take any BS from anyone. Like, you know, get up on your feet. Like, it's kind of the same as sentiment as the last song.
Dude, have you ever heard the song We've Got the Beat?
Yeah.
We've Got the Beat.
Yeah, yeah.
The drums are almost, like, perfectly plucked from that song and dropped into this song. That's all I could hear the whole time I was listening. It was wild. I still like this one, though. This is a very poppy, like, fast, heavy rocker, but also a poppy cadence to it, I guess is the best way of putting it. Thumpy bass mixed with like a classic rock guitar licking over it everywhere, man. I really like what Chris is doing on the guitar here. Vocals way up in the higher level, reaching into that higher range. Very danceable, very live music friendly, and a really cool solo. I love this one.
Yeah, I didn't like it as much, but I'm not going to hate on you for it. The next track is Skin and Bones, which I like this one a little bit more than the last couple ones.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's just like fun, easygoing, classic rock style song. Simple, plucky, like buzzy, hollow body chords mixed with fairly varied drums and more of like a mid-high level vocals. Some organ keyboard mixed in there. It gives it like a cool, fun vibe. This is something I could very much see myself like plopping on a Saturday afternoon. Sun's out. Little odd outside, just put this on and like get to work, whatever you're doing, pull some weeds, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. And lyrically, the sentiment is just, I like you just the way you are, don't change. Another pretty basic concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next track is Shiny Magazine. This is the one where I've had like the most like, oh, this is the Beatles.
That's my first fucking note. Beatles stuff again. Light, strummy, up-tempo acoustic with stuttered, thumpy bass line. Cleaned up, sweet sounding vocals and a very like choral thing at parts too. It's a fun vibe in the right mood. It's just not what I go to this band for.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Yeah, if I like,
if I want to listen to the Beatles, I'll go turn on the Beatles.
Exactly. And lyrically, I got a vibe where maybe, you know, just not feeling good enough about yourself about something. But yeah, my biggest takeaway was just that it sounds like the Beatles.
Funny. The title for this next song strikes me as very Beatles too, Eleanor. And it's not a Beatles sounding song. It just hit me there. Mid-tempo kind of like soft love song here. Choral singing in the mid-high section. Easygoing strummy acoustic with strings kind of hovering in overneath and some piano bumped on. Another one I thought was really cool work, but not much replay value.
Yeah, it definitely a nice love song. It's fine in the context. You know what's funny? I was just thinking, and I can't believe I haven't brought this up before, but you remember the Family Guy clip where Stewie was going to write a song for a girl that he liked, and Brian's like, oh, how original, a song named after a girl. And then Stewie's like, oh, name 15. And he just rattles off. He's like, Susie, Karen, Jesse, you know, Sandy. And name five more. And then he names five more, and he's like, name five more. And then one of the funniest Family Guy clips of all time.
So stupid. Oh, that's a good one. But yeah, for sure. That's a, like, this could be about something, somebody in particular, but I get what you're saying there. This could be very, like, chose a generic woman's name to write a love song about.
Yeah, and then I also don't know, maybe there's some sentiment about, again, about losing his dad in there, but to me it sounded more like just a basic love song for a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the second album. I think
we have one more. Maybe this is a bonus track. All You Have to Do.
Oh. Yeah, why don't you go?
Sure. This is a strange jazz rock thing here. Right out the bat. Sorry. I hear like cabaret drums for some reason. But then you also get you get the piano, you get this quiet screechy electric guitar underneath that piano. Vocals are kind of sweet, buzzy, mid-level thing. And then you get some choral singing on the chorus. I don't know what to make of it necessarily. I think it's a strange closer and not really for me.
Yeah, I boofed it on the notes. I must have missed that one. So.
No worries. Yeah, it's not much to see there anyways. So
yeah.
So that closes out Shine On 2006. Like I said, I think the lows are lower and the highs are not quite as high.
And then, yeah, real quick, because we did mention earlier, they released the expanded edition 10 years later or whatever with some demos. And then, like I said, they also have Hold On, which I think Hold On is better than any track on the album. It's one of my favorite Jet songs, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that too, and that's another kind of folk rocky thing. I didn't love it, but I didn't not like it.
I liked it a lot.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, because it's like I said again, I come here for Are You Gonna Be My Girl and Cold Heart Bitch, and you leave with Hold On. So it's just an interesting thing there where they like I said at the top, they have some stuff that's different than the meat and potatoes that is also pretty good. It just doesn't always hit. So
yeah, I think at the end of the day too, there's just so much good stuff out there where it's there's not a ton lyrically outside of a few songs once you get past the first album. And then musically, it's
wildly varied.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of all over the place. And
yeah,
some of it's good, but
it's a bit of something for everybody,
Yeah,
everything for nobody.
Maybe they're one of those bands where it's I don't know. Maybe they just needed to get it in the studio with different writers and stuff and different I don't know.
That's an interesting thing because a lot of musicians get people to write songs for them. And
yeah.
So at some point, I'm sure the critical reception of these two albums was pretty much what we've said now. The music's fine. The writing could be much better.
Yeah.
So at what point is it okay, we're going to go hire a writer? I don't know. I guess it's a case-by-case thing and certainly some ego involved in that, especially after you've written the first two albums, but could certainly benefit from that.
Right. So then we get the third and final album in 2009, which is titled Shaka Rock.
Shaka Rock's a hilarious title for an album. I don't know why. It's just it's just so stupid, and it kind of makes me laugh. Shaka Bra.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. But anyways. Yeah, this album, I feel much the way I felt about the last album in comparison to the first album that I do about this album in comparison to the last album. Which is to say the highs are not quite as high as the second album and the lows are lower than the second album.
Wait, say that again. So I agree with you. The lows on this album are lower than the second album. And then what was the other
part? The highs are not quite as high as the second album. Not to say they don't have highs, just to say the highs are not popping off the page.
I would say that they're about the same level in the highs, but that there's some lower lows here.
Yeah, I'm looking over some stuff here.
Let's just agree.
Yeah.
It's close. Let's say if the second album's here and you want to put the third album here, and then the first album's here for the highs.
Yeah, yeah. I think you could make some debate between this album and the last album being better than one or the other, but I think we both agree this one's probably the worst of the three.
I have this one flipped with Shine On.
Okay. Regardless, it's not an argument really worth getting into it over. This album opens with KIA, Killed in Action. And I don't know about this one. Less garage rocky and more pop rocky here. Choppy, fast riffs with tuned up guitars and a little bit more variance in the background chanting. Varied drum patterns, which is nice, actually. A little bit of a mixed bag, but not bad.
Yeah, it's funny. The drummer said on this one that he had the idea for the song to be kind of certain elements of life being akin to a war zone. I think this is maybe fine as an opener, but I'm not going to come back to it at all. I don't know. The KIA, I'm in love, I'm your target. KIA, I'm in love. KIA in the supermarket. Like, lyrically, it just comes across as one of those songs that's so, like, dumb and cheesy that I'm not going to let, like...
It's just poorly written. This isn't, like, preachy or anything. It's just poorly written.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like... It reminds me, like, of, like, a late Frey song where I was just like, why are they writing it like this?
It feels like they got a little bit too, it, like, too into the idea of the song and got a little bit, like, artsy-fartsy with it.
Yeah, that's what artsy-fartsy is probably a good way of putting it.
Yeah, which, don't do that. You're not smart enough to do that. All right. The next track, Beat on Repeat. This is closer to glam rock than anything.
I got an Oasis or Måneskin vibe.
Yeah, Måneskin I hear for sure.
At least on the mic.
Yeah, no, I hear it on the music. It's tuned up, buzz guitar, and like background chanting. Very much like a stomp-along thing. Mid-tempo, smooth cadence to it. Nice little solo at the end. Better than the last song. Just all right overall.
Yeah, it's still eh for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next track, She's a Genius, I really like this one.
I do too.
Okay. I think this might be the standout or one of the standouts for me for this album. Maybe it's just the chorus where they do like the, that girl's a genius, whoa, and then they do like the chanting in the back.
Yeah, something about that. And like just the very cool, like classic sounding thick riff and, you know, classic pacing on the drums. It's no frills. It's just good, solid rock here.
You know what else I like on this one is, like, the vocals. He's got kind of, like, that swagger and confidence that he has.
Very much the Cold Heart Bitch sound.
Yeah, exactly. From the first album that's not really there in the second album.
100%.
Especially when he's singing, oh, hey there, girl, tell me what you do. She said, nothing, but I'm damn sure it's more than you. Like, when he sings those two lines, I'm like, oh, like, this is very Cold Heart Bitch.
And same thing. He lets out some great yells on those lines, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. This is one of the better ones on the album.
Yeah. After that is Black Hearts, parentheses, On Fire. Pretty catchy. I kind of like this one.
So I'm doing a little bit of math here in my head. For some reason, this just came to my mind. When Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire would have been around this time?
My dad used to play that song on CD in the car all the time, bro. I swear to God, dude. He played that. That was one of his, like, he played that album all the time in the car. I used to.
Such a dad thing to do.
I used to not like the Kings of Leon too because he always fucking played the album. And then as I got older and I like could selectively choose when I wanted to listen to Kings of Leon, it was a lot better. But for some reason, when I was a kid, like, because he would play a lot of other rock CDs that I liked more, like Beck or Incubus or Linkin Park or Our Lady, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I just liked it a lot more than Kings of Leon.
And they turned on Kings of Leon and you were like, fuck this again.
I think it's just because the lead singer's voice is so like different.
It's very distinctive.
Yeah.
100%. That's just such a like a dad like song. Very dad, like right in the heart of dad rock. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Anyways, this is a very classic rock stadium anthem here. Slightly up-tempo, rollicking mid-tune chords. Very classic rock cadence on the mic here. Slight pause in between the lines, you know. Claps and a little licking Stonesy kind of guitar building the beat into the chorus. Cool sound. It's good. Not great. Not as good as the last one. Still good.
Yeah, I like it. Lyrically, your heart's on fire, but you're cold to the touch. Cool in a metaphor. Good track for me. I like
it. Yeah, take that. The next one, although I don't think is dangerous, I think it's always so dangerous to title a song 17.
Well, not only that, but the chorus is 17, oh, don't change one thing, oh, just burn to the end at 17, girl. So I had the same thought when I was looking at the lyrics for the song. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is just like, they're just over the top with it. And I guess the lead singer had moved into an apartment that his friend had moved out of, and the landlord's daughter had caught wind that the guy was moving out. And Nick caught her and her boyfriend, like, sneaking into the apartment. So he took that, and then he was just like, you know, she's 17, like, and it got him thinking back to when he was 17 and just like being free and reckless and kind of, like, don't change.
He wrote a story from the perspective of 17-year-olds.
Yeah, but he didn't.
It's a dangerous game you're playing.
He could have cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, there's some choices that were made here. regardless, mid-tempo, kind of simple rocker here. Nothing super crazy. You get a little piano that adds some brightness underneath this track. Feel good vibe, but it just doesn't like strike me in any way.
Yeah, it's funny. For some reason, this one is one that I come back to a lot.
Yeah, sure.
I do like the line, too. He's got a line. There's a hole in my head where the words fall out. I thought that was cool.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. It's one of the more clever lines they have.
Yeah. And then up next is La-Di-Da, which is very just average rock.
I hear Oasis on this one again.
Yeah.
But also, like, it starts with this old school Western folky thing, but then gets buzzed up and a bit quicker. And then it kind of drops off the Western bit and gets more into their, like, very just standard rock bit. You also get a flowy tempo on the mic here from Nick or whoever it is. I think it's Nick. That is strange, but I think they do a good job of it. I don't know. This one's fine, I guess.
Yeah, I won't come back to it.
I don't like the title of it at all. I think it's a shit title.
I do, too. I very much reminded me of Shangri-La from...
Shangri-La-Di-Da.
Yeah, Shangri-La-Di-Da from STP.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next track is Goodbye Hollywood. It's another one where it's like, maybe they're taking jabs at the label or being done with being famous, but it just comes across as like, it's just, I don't know, unoriginal or just very like generic.
Yeah, I wasn't overly impressed with this track either here. You know, fun, bubbly pop rock track. Bit old school Stones here, but like kind of twisted. Bright, fun electric chords, some organ keyboard. I don't know. Yeah, it's just it's fine, I guess. I feel the same way about this one as the last one.
Yeah.
Walk after that. Super buzzy, fuzzy, obfuscated guitar starts right out the gate. But then, like, in contrast with that, you get these really sharp, clean guitar, electric guitar notes over top of that, which is, I think, a really cool, like, foil on top or between the two. Bit of a plodding pace to it, a funky vibe that gets built with, like, bass and cowbell. You hear that a couple times. There's another track, I can't remember what it is now, but one or two tracks they mix in cowbell. Lyrically, the song is horrible.
Yeah, it's bad, dude. The whole lyrical sentiment is, not going to listen to you. You be wasting my time.
Oh, my God, it's bad. It's such nonsense. It's a little bit out there, but there's parts of this song I like.
The change up, like, 2 minutes in is dope. And then they have some licks afterwards that I really like.
that's such a weird thing, man, because, like, there's parts of the song I really enjoy, and I can't get over, like, the vocals here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, not the vocals, the lyrics. It's just, it's too over-the-top ridiculous.
Yeah, bro. Dude, I'm totally with you, where it's, like, I feel like this band has a lot of, like, talent, like, just wasted potential.
Yeah.
Like, the first album's good, really good, and then after that, it's, like,
hire a fucking writer.
They just couldn't put it together again.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then they didn't even try after the third album, which is that, I don't, again, like, we had this conversation last week, All American Rejects, like, fucking, how are you not even going to try and put out more music?
I mean, it's a case by case thing, man. I think there's a lot of ego, a lot of drugs that happens in a lot of cases.
I didn't read one thing about drugs.
I'm not saying specifically this case. I'm just saying in a lot of cases that makes sense to me. Like, that was kind of what happened with All American Rejects last week. In this case, I couldn't fucking tell you, man, except maybe like they just lost the numbers. And it was like, oh, fuck it. We're screaming to nobody.
Yeah, yep. I don't know.
Who knows? All right, next one. Times Like This. Chunky, buzzy kind of pop rock thing. A lot of background chanting and woo-hoos kind of mixed in. Cleaned up tone on the mic. A little bit more in the higher range. Very approachable, but not standout. It's good.
Yeah, this is, at this point in the album, I kind of had the sentiment of like they just ran out of stuff to say.
Yeah, there's not much going on here, but I think it's just an easy listen is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of this one. I do like the next one though. Let me out.
I like it, don't love it. Again, another one I like elements of this track. Fairly simple pumping guitar, not much in the way of drums. Picks up on the chorus, but like overall musically dull, simple. I do like what he does on the mic where like the vocals aren't super high, but he does add these subtle intonations on certain lines to, like, remind you that he's doing something on the mic. And so I think that's maybe the highlight of the song. Again, good, fine, not great.
Yeah, and about a relationship, there's more lyrical substance here, but that's not saying much given there's, like, no lyrical substance on some of the earlier tracks. The second to last track on the album is Start the Show, which, funny enough, this was on MLB 2K10.
Yo. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And this is actually, this would be like a great song to have as like the title track when you like start up the game, you know?
Yeah, Start the Show.
Yeah, 100%. Heavy, fast chords with a licking, wacky lead guitar. High energy vocals. More cowbell. This is the one. Drums. God, this is the one I needed. Like, this would be a 10 out of 10 if the drums were any better than they are. They're just so simple. Regardless of that, I like a lot about this track. I love the energy. I love the guitars. It's a good one.
Yeah, definitely. And then the album closes out with She Holds a Grudge, which is a love song admitting your own mistakes. It's a little bit different for Jet, but it still kind of falls flat for me.
I kind of like this one. You know, it does have a little bit of that Beatles thing to it. Folk rock guitars kind of plucking along gently, traveling, filled out vocals. It is a very lovey-dovey, like, slightly bittersweet track. But I don't know. There's just something really nice about this one for me that I enjoyed just, like, listening to quietly. And it's growing on me more and more as I give it more listens.
Yeah. And that is it.
Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned at the top, they did this, like, electronic rock collab with the Bloody Beetroots. I think My Name is Thunder is worth mentioning, at least.
That's a dope track for the workout.
This song fucking rocks. Like, it's not at all what I was expecting. The first time I flipped on this thing, I couldn't believe it was Jet. It is so loud and thick and, like, in your face. It's wild. Buzzy chords that are just, like, buzzed up to 11 because you got this synth underneath each chord hit that, like, just gives it a little extra boo. Simple pounding drums. A lot of keyboard and electric effects mixed in. The vocals are yelling all the way through.
And the track fits so well with his vocals.
It is so fucking good. There's a, later on in this album, there's like a, just a rock version of this song. Not nearly as good. The electronic version of this track rocks. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about this song. And if that's all we mention off this album, then it's worth at least mentioning.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff on this album, though. So they did a song with Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction. They did a song with Jay Buchanan from Rival Sons. We already mentioned some of this.
Yeah.
There's a bonus track on this album, too, that features Nick Chester. And that's a pretty good one, too. Let me pull it up here.
I'll have to check that one out.
That is, it's like the last track on the bonus edition of this album. It is Fever. And that's a little bit more mid-tempo, but still really, really good energy. Stupid lyrically, but because they like spell out F-E-V-E-R. Oh, it's so stupid.
I hate when bands do that.
Oh, it's so stupid. But aside from that, it's got
a dinosaur.
Regardless, I'd go back and give that one a listen, too. There's some other good songs in this album. Like, I like the one with Perry Farrell, Pirates, Punks, and Politics. I like the one before that, Nothing But Love. I don't know. If you're into electronic rock, this is something worth checking out. There's some really, really heavy stuff on here, like Bring Me the Horizon type stuff. Then there's some just, like, straight EDM on this album. I don't know. It's an interesting mix. If you're into that, give it a listen.
Yeah.
With that being said, I think that's all we got for Jet, unless you got any closing final notes.
No, let's do albums, top 10 concert.
Okay, sounds good.
We already did albums.
Yeah, albums is, for me, Get Born first, then Shine On, then Shocker Rock.
Yeah, and I'm Get Born, Shocker Rock, Shine On.
Yeah.
You got your top 10 list?
Yeah, I got my top 10. All right, 10 to 1 here for me. 10, She Holds a Grudge. 9, Take It or Leave It. 8, Start the Show. 7, She's a Genius. 6, Rip It Up. 5, Bring It On Back. 4, Move On. 3, Cold Hard Bitch. 2, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? 1, My Name is Thunder.
All right, you're including My Name is Thunder?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
going to do that too then.
Yeah.
All right, so then for me, I'm going to go 10 to 1 here. 10, Roll Over DJ. 9, Shine On. 8, Let Me Out. 7, She's a Genius. 6, Move On. 5, Hold On from the deluxe version of Shine On. 4, My Name is Thunder. 3, Look What You've Done. 2, Cold Hearted Bitch. And 1, Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Yeah, no arguments there.
Yeah.
All right. Concert set list. For me, there's no other option. You start the show with Start the Show. That's the opener, 100%. And then going into the encore, we're starting the encore with Cold Hearted Bitch because it has that extended open. I love it as an opener for the encore. Come Around Again, second on the encore, a little bit slower, kind of what I like there. And then Are You Going to Be My Girl to close it.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, I got Are You Going to Be My Girl as my closer, too, for the encore. For my opener, I have Rollover DJ. I think that's a good one, too,
okay,
to start off with. And then for the encore, we'll do My Name is Thunder to kick off the encore.
Okay, I like
that
too.
What a way to get the people going.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And then Move On in the middle is a little bit of a slower song.
Okay. Yeah, I fuck with that. I mean, it's not... We just have... I think we have slightly different opinions about this band, just in general. The general sense here is you appreciate the slower stuff a little bit more than I do.
Yeah.
And there's some other, like, bluesy stuff that I appreciate a little bit more than you do.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's kind of the gist of it. I have nothing else for Jet. Sorry, guys. Three albums, couple, few big hits. Anyways, still a worthwhile listen. So next week we have Audioslave. And then, God, I keep forgetting what we're doing after that. But
Papa Roach.
Papa Roach, that's right. Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting one. So let's talk that through really quick.
Yeah, because they have 11 albums.
11 albums, and I'm sure you being a big fan of Papa Roach, you're going to want to dig a little deep in on some of that. So it's something we're discussing maybe doing three parts on, because if we do two parts, it's 5 and 6 or 6 and 5. And that whatever that 6 album episode is going to be a beast.
Yeah, that's, I feel like, too, whenever we have that many, like, you just rush through a bunch of stuff.
And by the end, we kind of, like, lose it a little bit.
Yeah.
So maybe we do 4, 4, and 3 for that. And then I'll mix in, like I talked about, I'll mix in Luke Combs. I want to do,
right.
We'll do Luke Combs mixed in there. We'll do, George Ezra mixed in there. And then something else that's not so rocky, just as like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
And we'll mix that in. So that's kind of what we got coming up, along with the Taylor Swift episodes, which will continue to come out for the next few weeks. Or I guess, fuck, like almost 2 months. Anyways. So yeah, that's what we got going on here. If nothing else, then follow us on socials, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter @FlipTheRecord. Like, review, subscribe, Apple, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.
Catch you on the next one.